Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Genesis chapter number 2, I'm going to read a couple of passages from this same chapter. And we pray your heart be attentive, not just your ears, but your heart this morning. Genesis chapter number 2, we'll begin at verse number 7, and we'll read a few verses and then skip down to verse number 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Verse number 15, "The Lord God took the man, and he put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.'" Bow with us if you would. Lord, open to our hearts your word. As the messenger, we simply say, speak freely, and may we hear it. And not just be hearers, but doers of the word. I pray that in every heart it becomes effectual for those that have never heard it before, that by the Spirit today they might hear it the first time. And may they respond in faith, confessing you as Lord, and be changed forever. Help us now in love to bring this truth, this change, this help, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for us. When we talk about the rights that we have, we need to be careful that we recognize where rights come from. As a citizen of the United States, it gives me rights that folks in other countries do not have. And the truth is that if you're not a U.S. citizen and but here, truthfully, you don't actually have those rights. What makes those rights mine is that I am a citizen of this country. Now, our forefathers said that there were some rights that were unalienable, which means I can't be separated from them because they don't come from man. They come from God. Of those rights, they said, are the right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. Now, I'm not saying that the men that founded this country, every one of them were godly men. I am saying a great number of them were, and that they took from the resource of truth and founded for us certain doctrines that established a constitution, bills of rights, and things of that nature.
And let me be clear. I am grateful to be a citizen of this great country. It provides me a great deal of rights that I would not have as a citizen of a different country. So for those who would have reason in your heart to burn the flag, there's other countries if you'd like to live in them.
Right. Amen.
You don't have to live here.
Right.
And I am grateful that I am a citizen of this country. Now, I am not proud of where we are as a nation. We are in a great peril. Sin rages, and the consequences for it will come. You cannot sow to the wind and not reap the whirlwind. It will happen. But it does not change my love for this country and what it was founded on, what it stands for. And if God tarries his coming, he'll have to revive it to that simple truth of which it began for it to be restored. Said that to say this. I also have rights in Christ, given by Christ alone. I'm not worthy of them. You see, similar to my citizenship of this country, I had nothing to do with it. I was born here. By the grace of God, I was born here. In the similar circumstance as pertains to the rights I have as a child of God, I was born into them. I didn't deserve them.
Right. Amen.
I'm not worthy of them, to be honest. And by, let me be clear, the rights I have in Christ are far greater than the ones I have as a citizen of this country. They're far more reaching. You see, the rights I have in Christ are eternal in their resource. And for that I am most grateful as well. I was born into them. But I want today to do my best. I can't get through it all. And so as I tried again to pray through this morning, I've resigned the fact that you'll have to come back tonight to get part two. But I want to talk to you today about the giver of rights. According to our forefathers, and I think they had this right, God gives rights. Because other than God gives rights, we don't have any. Because we're not our creator. We were created, you see. Because I was created, I was given rights by the creator. And other than that, I wouldn't have any rights. And how I think that we as simply a created being need to recognize that we have a creator and recognize that by his mercies we have these rights. But I want to talk or share with you today the right that God has. And I want to share with you first the right and then the reason. But specifically this morning, I want to share with you how this pertains to the godless, to those that don't believe in him. Now, just because you say there is no God doesn't mean there's no God. There's a lot of things you've never seen, but they're there. And you can take all kinds of positions of unbelief, but the truth is just because you can't see something doesn't mean that something doesn't exist. I can give you 100 examples of that particular case. God is real whether you believe him or not.
Right. Amen.
Now, I'm obviously biased to that truth because I believe. And it's far too late to try to convince me there's no God. Right? I've experienced him. I'm not talking as one that has simply heard it and I'm re-sharing the information. No, I've been with him. I know he's real because he abides within me. Let me be clear. I talked to him today.
Right. Amen.
And he talked to me.
There you go.
Now you can say there is no God, but the scripture has concluded already that only the fool hath said in his heart there is no God.
That's right.
There's a God. You see, the only way that we can escape this life and truly say there is no God is to having refuted everything that I have seen. Because the scripture says that what God created is a witness that there is a God. If you want to see it like this, we're in a building. May I say to you today, this building was not an accident. I can look at its construction. I can look at its beauty. I can look at its foundations. And I can say to you that this building had an architect. It had a builder. Now, I wasn't around when they built this building, but I can say to you that I know by its design that there was a designer. I can tell you by its functionality that there was a creator. Someone made this building. And it doesn't take a rocket science to look around. You don't have to be of a great intelligence to look around and say there must have been a creator. There must have been a designer for all of the wondrous things that we see. And the apostle gives them quite clearly, and he speaks to them in the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, in all of these he reminds the reader that there is a creator. And that's who I read to you about this morning. A creator, one brother that has breathed into us the breath of life, breathed into us and made us a living soul. There is one, you see, to whom all life will report ultimately. There is an authority. There is one that is supreme and sovereign. There is a creator of this world. And if there is a God, then you and I are accountable to that God. The greatest atheists and philosophers of no God, many of them have penned the simple truth that they won't know God, because if there truly is a God, then that means His Word is real. That means they're accountable, and that there is a right and there is a wrong. And it's a whole lot simpler if you don't have a God, because then there's no rules. I want us to think firstly about the right that God has as our Creator. Quite simply, because He created us, He owns us. Now, God in Adam and Eve made them unlike the other creatures. He gave them the ability to choose. They had a choice, you see. If He'd have never put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden, they'd have never had a choice to make. There would have been no liability. There'd have been no risk for man. Right? They'd have simply just carried on forever as God. But He made animals for that reason. Right? He made the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea. They all man nature and they follow that structure. But to man, He gave them a choice. You see, there was an opportunity for man to be obedient to God. And that's always been the choice, is whether or not we will obey the Creator's word, that will follow His word and find it to be true, or we neglect that word in our own rebellion. And friend, man has the propensity to believe in God, but he can also disobey God. There was no question in Adam and Eve to whether God was real, but they also had a choice to whether or not they would serve Him, and God made them that way. Some say, well, why did God create evil? God didn't have to create evil. Right? Because there is good. You see, you can't have good as a definition unless there's the opposite of it. What is good if evil doesn't exist? There's always been evil in the form of the enemy himself, Satan, Lucifer. You can read about all of those things, that we have an enemy and one that is truly evil. But I can also say to you this, that we have a God who is perfect and righteous and has created mankind after His own being, right? The Bible said, He said, let us make man after our own image. And He made man and woman. And we have an opportunity today to believe or not believe. But ultimately, in obedience or disobedience, man fell. Man fell in the garden. The one thing that God said not to do. Eve was beguiled of the serpent, rebelled against the word of God, took of the fruit of that tree, shared it with her husband. Both of their eyes were opened. They knew immediately they had sinned, because suddenly they now have the knowledge of good and evil. And just as the enemy had said, they had become, as God's little g there, they had become a being that had a conscience, a being that had the ability to choose. And in that very day, they were alienated from God altogether. You remember in the story how that when Christ or God came through the garden and called for Adam, he said, "Where are you?" And Adam answered, having hid himself. And he said, "We hid ourselves, for we were naked." And God said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you ate of the tree?" He said, "Yes, the woman that you gave made for me ate of the fruit and gave it to me to eat." I say to you today that from that point, man was alienated from God. God's the creator. God has every right to do whatever he wants to do.
Amen.
With what he creates. People have a hard time because they think that their rights supersede God's rights, but you're confused. My rights will never supersede the rights of God. You say, "Why so?" Because I am the created and he is the creator. By definition, I have no right to say to God anything, honestly. I have no right to speak up at all. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul would go on in the book of Romans chapter number 9 to say this, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus?" What Paul was saying was we have no right to speak to God. We're the created, not the creator. That's what we've raised generations to believe, is that they're just as a God themselves. They can do what they want to do without any recompense or consequences. They can live how they want to live. There is no accountability in this world. Do what feels good. Do what you think is right. But what I can say to you is from the beginning of time, man is responsible to God and always will be.
Right, amen.
When it comes to having rights, I am given rights. I don't own rights. God gives rights. And within those rights, there is never one. There is not one that you'll find in Scripture that allows me to usurp my rights over the Creator's rights. God has the right to do anything that He wants to do. Adam and Eve failed in the garden. Now, God could have ended it right there, but that wasn't His will. That wasn't His will. Because ultimately, even though Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, I believe that those two, individually at least, those two, they committed themselves to God and followed Him, even though it was in a fallen state. There would be others that would follow him as well. And yet what we find in the heart of man, even no farther removed than Adam and Eve, is that man is capable of such wickedness. An undeniable wickedness. Man is capable, having Adam and Eve as the perfect man and woman, not being even a millennia from that origin. Man found himself desperately wicked, and according to the Scripture, his imagination was continually evil. No farther from Adam, and they had already digressed to the place that there was no one that loved God. You want to talk about rights? No one that loved God. Well, Noah found grace. You say, why did Noah find grace? Well, the Bible says about Noah that he was a perfect and upright man. Not perfect as in he was without sin, but it said within his generation, he was one that feared God. He was one that followed God. He was one that sought a relationship between him and the Creator. And you know what God did? The Bible said that God did the most extraordinary thing here as He looked upon every human soul, as He evaluated and inspected every living soul on the earth. He found that there was none that loved Him but one. God looked upon what He created, and the Scripture says that according to Him, it repented Him that He had ever created man. Because their heart had become continuously evil and wicked. Did God have a right to flood the earth?
Yes.
He's the Creator.
Right.
If He started it, He can finish it. And He can do it in any form, any way that He wants to do it. You say, why? Because He's the Creator. There is no other explanation. There's no other definition. There's nothing else needed. You see, our problem is that we think our rights are more important than the right of the Holy One that hath made us. We breathe today because God allows that breath. Many think that very philosophy is limited in its imagination. It doesn't take imagination. Listen, what I'm saying to you today is that our very life is in the palm of the hand of He who created me. Because I am created does not give me rights above the one that hath created me. No, what I've done is the same thing that Adam and Eve has done. If I do that, I've exalted myself as a god. And that my rights are more important. Here's the truth. God had every right to destroy this earth. And He did. And no one could stop Him. You understand what I'm saying? Who can say to God, why have you done this? No one. No one. Who can say, was God righteous in doing this, or was God righteous in doing that? Nay, but oh man, thou art without excuse. You have no way that you can even question God. Else you also be a god. And you're not. None of us are. The question is, does God have a right to do whatever He wants to do? Absolutely, He has a right. Simply because He is the Creator. You got to get this, right? You're not going to catch part number two unless you get this one. The Old Testament Scripture says it like this, Bruce says, shall not the God of earth do right? Yeah, I believe that. I believe that God does right in all that He does. I may not understand it. I may not get it now. I may never get some of the things that God does. Even in my own thoughts as I think, God, how could that have been this or that? It does not matter. If God is the orchestrator, I can assure you that He does only what is right. Narrow-minded preachers. I can afford to be narrow-minded, by the way. Because I'm right. Right? Because He is God.
Right, amen.
He has the right to do anything He wants to. This goes deeper than I can go today, but God has a right. When He looked on the earth, and I'm talking about in the days of Noah.
Right.
When He looked on the earth and He examined every heart. You say, how do you know He examined every heart? Because He declared Noah's was different.
Right.
That's how I know. He examined every heart. Millions of people upon the earth. He examined every heart. Not one. But Noah, not one. Followed Him. Served Him. Loved Him. God said, I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to destroy it. Did He have a right to destroy it? Absolutely. It's His. He can do anything He wants to with it. But number two, did He have a reason? Did he have a reason to destroy it? Absolutely, he had a reason to destroy it. It had rebelled and gone so far from God that it was continuously evil and wicked in their own imaginations. Every part of their heart was dark. Every part of their mind was dark. And God, having being the only one that could, having searched and looked at every heart, said, made the statement that every soul was continuously wicked. Did he have a reason to destroy it? Yes. He had the right to do whatever he wanted to do.
Right.
Let me say this as boldly as I can. He didn't need a reason.
Yeah.
He'd do whatever he wants to do.
Amen.
Either he's God or he's not God.
Right.
If he's not sovereign, then why do you call him God? If he's not capable and in charge of everything, why do you bow?
Right. Amen.
If he ain't God, then he's not God. If he is God, then he's the ruler. The King, the Creator, everything. If He's God, He is supreme and is above us all. He has the right to do whatever He wants to do. But did He have a reason? Yeah, He had a reason. I've already shared it with you. And for that reason, He said, I'm going to destroy this earth. I'm going to flood it and I'm going to destroy every living thing. Then in the next chapter, you'll find chapter number 6 of Genesis. It said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, let me say something to you, right? Because up to this point, some of you are rubbed the wrong way, right? You say he preaches that with such authority or boldness as in to make me think that I don't deserve anything. I don't have any right to anything. Let me be clear. That is true. You don't have any right. But what will bring you, I hope, to the truth today in that God is supreme and sovereign. God has every right. God has every reason to do whatever He wants to do. But you say that does not sound like the God who says He is the God of love. Can God be right and be a God of love?
Yes.
But no. You better be glad I ain't God.
Right. Amen. Amen.
I'd have found one little skinny man down there in the woods. Hey man, had a little family and he was bothering me. I'd have thought, well, that ain't worth it all. You know what God did? He had already made up his mind. Man had grown continuously wicked. You know what he also knew? Not one more soul would believe in him. Not one. No one was converted. No one followed him. No one served him. The 120 years it took Noah and his sons to build that ark. Not one soul came to God.
Right.
He knew that. He knew that before he ever came to that one lonely fella down there that was trying to live for God. He knew that.
Yep.
And you know what God did? He waited.
Right.
You know why he waited?
Be gracious.
Amen. Grace! He didn't have to do it.
Right. Amen.
He had every right and every reason to destroy it utterly. But one precious soul, God said, I'll wait for one. You see, you want to talk about love? Does he have a right? Yes, he has a right. He can do anything he wants to with me. And his reason is beyond reproach.
Right, amen.
But that he would love me.
Yeah.
Right. That's where it separates him from everything else. When we recognize that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He looked down on that mass of wickedness, vileness, look down upon those millions that hated and continuously rebelled. And he found one man that loved him, one man that served him, one man that followed him. And he came to Noah and he said, I'm going to destroy the earth. He said, but I want you to build an ark that I might save those creatures, some of those creatures that I've created. And he said, in your family. And God waited for 120 years while Noah built the ark. God waited, knowing that nobody else would believe. He did all of that because he loved. He loved Noah. The day came when that ark was finished. God came to Noah and he said, get on the boat. He said, all the creatures, two by twos, seven by sevens, whether they were clean or unclean, he said, get them on the boat. He said, they'll come. He loaded them all up. He told Noah, he said, get your family on board, your family and their wives. He said, get them on board. He said, I'm fixing to shut the door. God shut the door that day. And hear me now, he destroyed every living thing but what was on the boat. Could God have just started over? Made a couple of more, right? Yes. But he didn't.
Right.
He found one man. I tell you, if that's not the greatest picture of love I've ever seen, why would God do that? Because he loved him. And for 120 years, he stayed his wrath. He held his wrath. He was merciful and gracious while this one poor man tried to build a boat in the middle of a desert. He was merciful as he waited on him to prepare an ark that might be deliverance for his family. Does God have a right? Absolutely. He has a right to do anything he wants to do. And it has nothing to do with you or me. I mean, truly, God doesn't consult me when he's fixing to do something. Big or small. Now, he does not need my counsel. Right? And all of you say, thank God for that. He doesn't ask the preacher. He doesn't need my counsel. He doesn't need yours. Well, I'd like to preach to you part number two right now, but you'll have to come back. Hear me, as an unbeliever, there is one that you are accountable to whether you believe in him or not. You will stand before him one day, and you will give an account for everything that you have done in the flesh. Everything that you have thought, every sin that has been committed, you are accountable to a holy and a just God. And you will stand before him and give an account on that day. And based upon your faith, whether or not you believed in Jesus Christ or you did not, you will be cast into a lake of fire. Does God have the right to do that? But does God have a reason to do that? The most heinous sin ever committed is to reject the work of his beloved Son. There is no greater wrath than shall be poured out except for those who have denied his Son. Does he have a right? Yes. He is God. He does whatever he chooses to do. But does he have a reason? If you go to hell, it'll be because you rejected Jesus Christ. It's that simple. You say, preacher, I've been a drug addict all my life. That don't matter to him.
Right. Amen.
Preacher, I've been a drunk all my life. I've been a harlot or a prostitute, a swindler or a chief or a thief or a cheat. Not a problem. Does he have a right to condemn you? Does he have a reason? Plenty. Plenty. Within your sin nature, you are a rebel to God. None have sought God. And yet right now, he holds his hands out to the worthless.
Amen.
To the wretched. To the vilest of sinners. He holds his hands out. And he says, come to me. Do I have a right? Yes, I do. Do I have a reason? Yes, I do. But do I love you? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I have made a way for you, Noah. I have made a way for you to escape the penalty of your own unbelief. Your own sin. I have made a way for you. Did he have to do that? That's why it's grace. That's why it's grace. Preacher, if I can just get right, I'm going to come to God. That's not how you come to God. No, as a matter of fact, he'll come to you when you're as broken as you can be. When you finally recognize that you don't deserve to live. You don't deserve heaven. You don't deserve good. You don't deserve anything. You'll find that the God that has every right to toss you and me into hell, the God that has every reason to cast us into that place, is also the one saying, come, come now. I'll change you. I want to make you a new creature. I want to make you mine. He loves you today. I'm talking to the sinner right now. Tonight, if you come back, I'm going to talk to the saints. Because there's some rights that God has over the saints, and there's some reasons God has over the saints, and I want to share them with you tonight. I believe you'll enjoy them. I have. But to the sinner, hear me right now.
Yeah, bless.
Right? The first 30 minutes of this, you thought, I am condemned.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you are condemned already. It wasn't this message that condemned you. You have already been condemned in your sins and trespasses because you are a rebel to God. You have done nothing but hate God. You've done nothing but live to your own wicked self. God has every right and every reason to do the same to you as he did to everything else before. But he also loves you. And he has proven that love. And I hope at least, if you get nothing else, what you recognize is that as the sovereign of all creation, God Almighty, the sovereign of all creation, that not only does he have a right and a reason, but he loves you. And he will change you this morning if you'll but believe in his Son. If that's you today, I'm going to give you a simple invitation. Run to Jesus right now. Come to the one who will make you a new creature in him. Come get a song. He's sovereign. He is right. Perfect in everything that he does. But in none of those things do I have a right. to say to God, why have you done this? Or why did you do that? Let me read to you just one scripture from the book of Daniel about an unbeliever. This one here, this one caught me. Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked king. Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked king. And God had raised up Nebuchadnezzar as the ruler of the known world at that time. Daniel chapter number 4. I just want to read to you. Nebuchadnezzar had grown proud in his heart. And God sent a word, a vision, a dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And as he dreamed that dream, it troubled him. And when he awoke, he went to Daniel and he said, I've had a dream. And he shared with him the dream. Daniel said, give me 1 hour with God. Daniel came back after an hour and he said, O king. I just love how Daniel loved people. He said, O king. He said, repent. He said, repent lest those things you dreamed come to you. He said, for who you saw in that dream was yourself. And he said, the Most High God will do just what he said. But he said, repent. Turn and seek righteousness. Well, 12 months to the day, Nebuchadnezzar stepped out on the court of his palace and looked at the grandeur of it all. And he said, look what I have done. And the scripture said, before the words had ever left his mouth, God changed the heart of this human being into the heart of a beast. Now, I can't imagine such a thing is happening. But he literally fell to his knees and hands and stayed there 7 years. Ate grass like an ox. Hair grew all over his body like the feathers, fingernails turning into claws like a bird. And ate the grass laid out in the dew of the open air, having no more mind than an ox. 7 years. Then I read, and at the end of the days, this is Nebuchadnezzar now. He said, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? When he came to himself, he had but one acknowledgement that there is a God and he can do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. He is the blessed, the Most High. He is the one that raises men up to positions. He is one that puts them down. He is God. Now, if an earthly king can come to this conclusion, let me be clear, he's trying to bring you to that same mind today. Do you believe? It's Christ or it's nothing. Everybody wants rights. I'm going to tell you about some wonderful rights tonight. Right? I've got some. But I had to get born again. See, in order to have the rights of a citizen, I had to become a citizen. And the only way to become a citizen into the family of God is to be born into it. Born again. Are you? If you're not, the invitation for you is to come. If you need Jesus today, come. Come. Call on him as we stand and sing.